Today we carry on with the subject, Refined Worship. This will be Refined Worship, Part 3. The final part in the series. And our base text has been Matthew chapter 4, 1 through 11. And let's go there again and read it together. Matthew 4, 1 through 11. Then was Yahshua led up of the Spirit into the wilderness to be tempted of the devil. Now, if you read this first verse and used some sort of human reasoning in the interpretation of it, you could get the idea that the purpose for going up into the wilderness was to be tempted. But that's not what it means. Yahshua did not go up into the wilderness to be tempted by the devil. He went there to contemplate his mission. He wanted to be alone with the Father and commune with the Father and prepare himself for the awesome wait before him. He wanted to clear his mind from everything of the world, to fast and pray and commune with the Father and prepare himself for the almost overwhelming weight of responsibility. And as he went to the wilderness there, he began to feel pressing upon him the weight of sin and guilt of the whole world. Continuing in verse 2, and when he had fasted 40 days and 40 nights, he was afterward a-hungered. Now, at his weakest point, Satan approaches him as an angel of light. When the tempter came to him, he said, "If thou be the son of Yah, command that these stones be made bread." Would there have been anything wrong with Yahshua eating something? Not really. Yah is not sadistic. Yah does not require that we hurt ourselves or do ourselves harm. It wasn't that Yahshua would not be willing to eat when he's hungry, but Yahshua was not willing to perform a miracle for himself. The miracles that Yahshua performed was for others, to serve others, to help others, but to use divine power to help himself, he would not do. Self-denial was the rule and spirit of our Savior. And he set that example for his brethren, Yah's children. So he answered the devil in verse 4. He said, "It is written, man shall not live by bread alone, but by every word that proceedeth out of the mouth of Yah." Then the devil taketh him up into the holy city, and setteth him on a pinnacle of the temple, and saith unto him, now he's going to use scripture. He's going to copy Yahshua. Yahshua has met the temptation with Scripture, and the devil is going to come back now with Scripture misapplied. If thou be the Son of Yah, cast thyself down, for it is written, He shall give His angels charge concerning thee, and in their hands they shall bear thee up, lest at any time thou dash thy foot against a stone. That's taken from Psalm 91, 11. Yahshua said unto him, It is written again, Thou shalt not tempt Yah, the Almighty One. And again, the devil taketh him up into an exceeding high mountain. Now, the devil shows his true colors. First he comes as an angel of light to deceive him. Now he comes with force, showing the true character of his person. He showeth him all the kingdoms of the world and the glory of them, and saith unto Yahshua, All these things will I give thee, if thou wilt fall down and worship me. It doesn't make it clear in the scripture here, but the spirit of prophecy tells us that Yahshua hesitated. Yahshua looked over the kingdoms of the world in their great splendor. You see, in order for something to be a temptation, it must be inviting. It must be something that would naturally or normally affect us. For example, the first temptation was upon appetite. It was at a point when Yahshua was at his physical weakness, weakest point. He was very hungry. And the temptation to eat was strong in his body. The second temptation was on presumption. If you are the Son of God and you have all power in heaven and in earth, why couldn't you jump off the top of a high place? Well, you created the high place. You created the earth and all that is in it. Why couldn't you jump off of a high place and not be hurt? You see, the temptation is real. And the third one comes in the area of power. Well, who is more powerful than Yah? But it appears in the human form that Satan has taken over. He is the prince of the power of the air. He owns the world, as it appears. He gets his way in the world. All of the kingdoms seem to bow down to him. And so he offers these treasures, the whole world, power over the whole world, to Yahshua. And Yahshua takes just a moment to look it over. And it's revolting. It's beautiful in the flesh, but it's revolting to his spirit. And he comes with this answer. Get thee hence, Satan, for it is written, Thou shalt worship Yah, the Almighty, and Him only shalt thou serve. Then the devil leaveth him, and behold, angels came and ministered unto Yahshua. The third temptation, part three, of refined worship is about power, about greed, about covetousness. The love of the world, the lust for power, and the pride of life. Everything that draws men away from the worship of Yah was embraced in this third and final temptation of Christ. And Christ overcame it through the Word. He overcame it for you and me. He overcame appetite. He overcame presumption. He overcame the lust for power for us, and made it possible for us to have that same success in our lives. Riches, honor, and happiness, worldly happiness, are Satan's promised advantages for those he seduces into refined worship. He makes his subjects believe that true success depends on their service to him. But we have promises in the Word. We have cautions in the Word. And just as Yahshua, we are instructed to live by every word that proceeds from the mouth of Yah. Look at one of our promises in James chapter 4. James 4, verses 7 and 8. Submit yourselves therefore to Yah. Resist the devil, and he will flee from you. Draw nigh to Yah, and he will draw nigh to you. Cleanse your hands, ye sinners, and purify your hearts, ye double-minded. I've had people tell me before, Pastor Chick, I pray and pray and pray for Satan to leave me alone, and he just won't leave me alone. And I ask them, have you followed the instruction of Scripture? Have you submitted yourself to Yah? Have you resisted the devil so that he will flee from you? Have you drawn nigh to Yah and seen him draw nigh to you? Have you cleansed your hands? Have you purified your heart? Oh, yes, I've done all of these things. It cannot be, dearly beloved. It cannot be. The Word is not broken. If you follow these instructions, the devil has no power over you. When Yahshua had overcome in the three areas of appetite, presumption, and power, the devil leaveth him. The devil had no part with him. If the devil is harassing you, if the devil is staying with you, if he's not leaving you, then it's because you don't want him to leave, really. You're deceiving yourself. You're holding on to something. You're holding on to some area that he can have access to you through. You are holding on to some area of appetite. You are holding on to some area of presumption, or you are holding on to some area of greed and covetousness. Because the Scripture says that if you submit yourselves to Yah, resist the devil, he will flee from you. And let me tell you this. I'm not a soft shoe preacher. If you are holding on to appetite or presumption or power in any way, you have no chance of spending eternity with the family of Yah. For the family of Yah are overcomers. They are Israel. They are they that overcome in every area of life, just as the Savior did. Oh, we have a grand promise in Exodus 20. Let's look at it. Exodus 20. In verse 17. It is called the 10th commandment. I like to call it the 10th promise. The way it reads is, from the King James, is thus: Thou shalt not covet thy neighbor's house, thou shalt not covet thy neighbor's wife, nor his manservant, nor his maidservant, nor his ox, nor his ass, nor anything that is thy neighbor's. The way it reads in the Spirit is really a promise. And it reads something like this: As a child of Yah in Christ, thou shalt not covet thy neighbor's house. As a child of Yah in Christ, thou shalt not covet thy neighbor's wife. As a child of Yah in Christ, thou shalt not covet thy neighbor's manservant, nor his maidservant, nor his ox, nor his ass, nor anything that is thy neighbor's. We've just recently finished putting together a counseling center in Corinth, Mississippi. We had some construction work to do there. And I had an experience. I went to the local indoor lumber yard and bought some material. And when I got to the site and unloaded the material and looked at the receipt, I saw that I had only been charged for one piece of paneling out of four that I had received. They had also charged me three times too much for the paint, so there were several errors on the receipt. Now, what do you reckon the temptation is? Well, of course, I'm figuring up the mathematics of this matter. Did the overcharge offset the undercharge? If everything is offset and equal, there's nothing we need to say about it. Well, there might be something. It might mess up their inventory. Do we care about the indoor lumber yard's inventory? Let me tell you, most people don't care. Most people care less about where things go in that lumber yard. When I go to buy something, I was trying to find some little L brackets. And I went to the place where the L brackets are. And I said, 2.5 by 5/8. That's what I want. I reached in and I picked out 1.5 by 1/4. Now, who does that hurt? When a customer goes to the indoor lumber yard and they go to the stocking area and it's labeled a certain thing and they reach in to get what they want and they pull out something else, what does that do? It tempts you to be frustrated and irritated, doesn't it? Why isn't this in the right place? But think of it in another way. The stalkers probably didn't do that. The indoor lumber yard was not guilty necessarily of stocking it in the wrong place. It's you and I. It's the customer that goes in and grabs something, says, I don't want that, and they throw it back in the wrong bin. Oh, and they don't even think about the next guy that's coming along. They don't think about the indoor lumber yard that may lose business because I can't find anything in this place. I'll go somewhere else. I'll go up to Smaller Brothers or somebody's place. Does it matter, brothers and sisters? Are you sensitive enough? Are you going to sleep on me? Are you awake enough to understand what I'm trying to say? Do unto others as you would have them do unto you. If you had an indoor lumber yard, would you want to keep it organized? Would you want everything there so the public could find what they want and be able to purchase it so you could make a profit and stay in business? I think so. Do we have an obligation to take our receipts and see that the things we buy match the receipts so that they're not cheated, we're not cheated, and their inventory's not messed up? Oh, it's so tempting if you get three free pieces of paneling to just say, whoa, boy, I really got a good deal. God really blessed me, didn't he? I'm sorry. God did not bless you. Satan tempted you, and God allowed it. Nay, we cannot be our brother's keeper while we cheat them out of their things. As a child of Yah in Christ, thou shalt not covet the indoor lumber yard's paneling. I don't want anything I didn't pay for. And I don't want to pay for anything I didn't get. Am I alone in this? I think it's a fairly common emotion or philosophy. Only Satan and his worshipers want what they didn't pay for or what they didn't deserve. Greed and covetousness ends in defeat. It ends in murder. It ends in betrayal. And finally ends in separation from Yah. Let's look at some scriptures, some examples of these things. First, we're going to look at defeat in Joshua chapter 7. And these are only four examples. We could really take a lot of time and show many, many more examples. But if these are not enough to turn the hearts to the Father, nothing will. In Joshua 7, we read about the sin of Achan. Now, over in chapter 6, Yah has put a ban upon the silver and the gold, the vessels of brass, the iron. He says they're consecrated unto Yah. They shall come into the treasury of Yah. And let this be a lesson to you and I. The tithe is sacred unto Yah. If you use the tithe for your personal advantage, you can know that you will have curses in your life. I've heard stories about men that weren't even Christians who picked up on the concept of tithing and admitted that their financial status was better when they tithed, even though they didn't even necessarily believe in what they were, you know. It was just a charitable thing they were doing, and their finances went better. It's a law. So let's pick it up in chapter 7. But the children of Israel committed a trespass in the accursed thing, for Achan, the son of Carmi, the son of Zabdi, the son of Zerah, of the tribe of Judah, took of the accursed thing, and the anger of Yah was kindled against the children of Israel. Now, what we see right here is corporate accountability. If one of you in this circle, if one of us in this circle is guilty of covetousness and greed, we bring the curse of Yah on the whole circle. Why? Because we claim to be brothers and sisters, and we should be watching out for one another. We should be helping one another and counseling one another. And if we see a brother or sister being a little greedy or a little covetous, we need to sort of tap them on the back and say, honey, brother, sister, this is not what Yah wants. He that I love, I rebuke and chasten. Verse 2, and Joshua sent men from Jericho to Ai. Oh, you remember the story now, the fall of Jericho. They went in and took over Jericho, and that's where Achan took some of these things that he was not supposed to take out of the battle of Jericho there. So Joshua sent men from Jericho to Ai, which is beside Bethaven, and the east side of Bethel, and spake unto them, saying, go up and view the country. And the men went up and viewed Ai. And they returned to Joshua and said unto him, let not all the people go up, but let about 2,000 or 3,000 men go up and smite Ai, and make not all the people to labor thither, for they are but a few. So they went up thither of the people about 3,000 men, and they fled before the men of Ai. And the men of Ai smote of them about 36 men, for they chased them from before the gate even into Shebarim, and smote them in the going down. Wherefore the hearts of the people melted and became as water. And Joshua rent his clothes and fell to the earth upon his face before the ark of Yah until the eventide. He and the elders of Israel, and put dust upon their heads. And Joshua said, alas, O Yah, the Almighty, wherefore hast thou at all brought this people over Jordan to deliver us into the hand of the Amorites, to destroy us? Would to the Almighty that we had been content and dwelt on the other side of Jordan. Oh yeah, what shall I say when Israel turneth their backs before their enemies? For the Canaanites and all the inhabitants of the land shall hear of it, and shall encircle us around and cut off our name from the earth, and what wilt thou do unto thy great name? And Yah said unto Joshua, get thee up, wherefore liest thou thus upon thy face? Israel hath sinned, and they have also transgressed my covenant which I commanded them, for they have even taken of the cursed thing, and have also stolen and dissembled or lied also, and they have put it even among their own stuff. Therefore the children of Israel could not stand before their enemies, but turned their backs before their enemies, because they were accursed or unacceptable to Yah. Neither will I be with you any more, except ye destroy the accursed from among you. Sanctify the people, and say, sanctify yourselves against tomorrow, for thus saith Yah, the Almighty of Israel, there is an accursed thing in the midst of thee, O Israel. Thou canst not stand before thine enemies until you take away the accursed thing from among you. In the morning, therefore, ye shall be brought according to your tribes, and it shall be that the tribe which Yah taketh shall come according to the families thereof, and the family which Yah shall take shall come by households, and the household which Yah shall take shall come man by man. We're going to have a inspection. We're going to have judgment by tribe. And it shall be that he is taken with the cursed thing shall be burnt with fire, he and all that he hath, because he hath transgressed the covenant of Yah, and because he hath wrought folly in Israel. This is a miniature of the great judgment. Everyone that wreaks havoc in Israel will be burnt in the fire, the lake of fire. So Joshua rose up in the morning and brought Israel by their tribes, and the tribe of Judah was taken. And he brought the family of Judah, and he took the family of the Zarahites, and he brought the family of the Zarahites man by man, and Zabdi was taken. And he brought his household man by man, and Achan, the son of Carmi, the son of Zabdi, the son of Zerah, of the tribe of Judah was taken. And Joshua said unto Achan, my son, give, I pray thee, glory to Yah, the Almighty of Israel, and make confession unto him, and tell me now what thou hast done. Hide it not from me. And Achan answered Joshua, and said, indeed, I have sinned against Yah, the Almighty of Israel, and thus have I done. When I saw among the spoils of the goodly Babylonish garment, or mantle, and 200 shekels of silver, and a wedge of gold of 50 shekels weight, then I coveted, or wanted them, and took them, and behold, they are hid in the earth in the midst of my tent, and the silver under it. Now get this, he did not come forward, he did not confess this, he was found out and pointed out, and then he admitted it. It was not true confession. So Joshua sent messengers, and they ran into the tent, and behold, it was hid in his tent, and the silver under it. And they took them out of the midst of the tent, and brought them into Joshua and all the children of Israel, and laid them out before Yah. And Joshua and all of Israel with him took Achan, the son of Zerah, and the silver, and the garment, and the wedge of gold, and his sons, and his daughters. Listen, his sons and his daughters. His oxen, his asses, his sheep, his tent, and all that he had. And they brought them into the valley of Achor. And Joshua said, why hast thou troubled us? Yah shall trouble thee this day. And all Israel stoned him with stones and burned them with fire after they had stoned them with stones. And they raised over him a great heap of stones unto this day. So Yah turned from the fierceness of his anger. Wherefore the name of that place was called the Valley of Achor, or Troubling, unto this day. Covetousness will end in defeat and death, separation from Yah. And don't believe that the little children will escape the destruction. For if they are offspring of covetous, power-hungry, greedy people, they will be destroyed along with the parents. First Kings 21. First Kings 21. Ahab is denied the vineyard of Naboth. Let's read about it. 1 Kings 21, 1 through 16. And it came to pass after these things that Naboth, the Jezreelite, had a vineyard, which was in Jezreel, hard by the palace of Ahab, king of Samaria. And Ahab spake unto Naboth, saying, give me thy vineyard, that I may have it for a garden of herbs, because it is near unto my house. And I will give thee for it a better vineyard than it, or if it seem good to thee, I will give thee the worth of it in money. And Naboth said to Ahab, Yah forbid it me, that I should give the inheritance of my fathers unto thee. See, there was a law in Leviticus 25:23 that forbid this. And Ahab came into his house heavy and displeased because of the word which Naboth the Jezreelite had spoken to him. For he said, I will not give thee the inheritance of thy fathers. And he said unto him down upon his bed, and turned away his face, and would eat no bread. He was very unhappy. Verse 5. And Jezebel, his wife, came to him and said unto him, Why is thy spirit so sad, thou that eatest no bread? And he said unto her, Because I spake unto Naboth the Jezreelite. He said unto me, Give me thy vineyard for money. Or I said unto him, Give me thy vineyard for money, or else, if it please thee, I will give thee another vineyard for it. And he answered, I will not give thee my vineyard. And Jezebel his wife said unto him, Dost thou now govern the kingdom of Israel? Arise and eat bread, and let thine heart be merry. I will give thee the vineyard of Naboth the Jezreelite. So she wrote letters in Ahab's name, and sealed them with his seal, and sent the letters unto the elders and unto the nobles that were in the city dwelling with Naboth. And she wrote him the letters, saying, Proclaim a fast, and set Naboth on high among the people, and set two men, his sons, Belial, and before him to bear a witness against him, saying, Thou didst blaspheme Yah and the king, and then carry him out and stone him that he may die. And the men of his city, even the elders and the nobles, who were the inhabitants of his city, did as Jezebel had sent unto them, and as it was written in the letters which she had sent unto them. They proclaimed a fast and set Naboth on high among the people. And there came in two men, children of Belial, and sat before him, and the men of Belial witnessed against him, even against Naboth, in the presence of the people, saying, Naboth did blaspheme Yah and the king. Then they carried him forth out of the city and stoned him with stones, and he died. Then they sent to Jezebel, saying, Naboth is stoned and is dead. And it came to pass, when Jezebel heard that Naboth was stoned and was dead, that Jezebel said to Ahab, Arise and take possession of the vineyard of Naboth the Jezreelite, which he refused to give thee for money. For Naboth is not alive, but dead. And it came to pass, when Ahab heard that Naboth was dead, that Ahab rose up to go down to the vineyard of Naboth the Jezreelite to take possession of it. Now here's a man that is coveting something that Yah has forbidden. And the only way he can get it is through murder. Greed and power-hungry attitudes and covetousness will many times end in murder. Actual murder. It will always have hate and murder in spirit. Let's look at Luke 22, 1 through 6. Many of us might be thinking, oh, I would never have done that. I wouldn't do such a thing. Well, if we're truly born again, we would not. But it is in the natural human nature, the sin nature, to do such a thing if you want it. Luke 22, 1 through 6. Now the feast of unleavened bread drew nigh, which is called the Passover, and the chief priests and scribes sought how they might kill Yahshua, for they feared the people. Then entered Satan into Judas, surnamed Iscariot, being of the number of the 12. And he went his way and communed with the chief priests and captains how he might betray him unto them. And they were glad and covenanted to give him money. And he promised and sought opportunity to betray Yahshua unto them in the absence of the multitude. For 30 pieces of silver, Judas coveted and betrayed the Savior. Covetousness ends in betrayal. And lastly, let's look at Acts 5. The often told story of Ananias and Sapphira. Acts 5, 1 through 11. But a certain man named Ananias, with Sapphira his wife, sold a possession or some property, and kept back part of the price, his wife also being privy to it, and brought a certain part and laid it at the apostles' feet. Now remember, they had covenanted and committed to give them all of it. But they held back a little for themselves. But Peter said unto Ananias, why has Satan filled thine heart to lie to the Holy Ghost and to keep back part of the price of the land? While it remained, was it not thine own? And after it was sold, was it not in thine own power? Why hast thou conceived this thing in thine heart? Thou hast not lied unto men, but unto Yah. And Ananias, hearing these words, fell down and gave up the ghost. And great fear came on all them that heard these things. And the young men arose, wound him up, and carried him out, and buried him. And it was about the space of 3 hours after, when his wife, Sapphira, not knowing what was done, came in. And Peter answered unto her, tell me whether ye sold the land for so much. And she said, yea, for this amount, for so much. Then Peter said unto her, how is it that ye have agreed together to tempt the Spirit of Yah? Behold, the feet of them which have buried thy husband are at the door and shall carry thee out. Then fell she down straightway, or immediately, at his feet and yielded up the ghost. Died. And the young men came in, found her dead, carrying her forth, buried her by her husband. And great fear came upon all the church, and upon as many as had heard these things. Covetousness, greed, and lust for power will bring you to death. The second death, separation from Yah forever. Look at 1 John 2. These scriptures and a few following scriptures will be my closing. 1 John 2, 15 through 17. Love not the world, neither the things that are in the world. If any man love the world, the love of the Father is not in him. Now let me tell you, brothers and sisters, and those that may be listening by tape or by internet, some of you may not be Christians, some of you may not be particularly creation Seventh-day Adventists. You may think you have love. You may love your family. You may love your little children. And you may think, I must provide for my children. Let me tell you, I was in the world one time. I had a house that was worth $150,000. I had a swimming pool that was valued at $30,000. I had a guest house behind the swimming pool that was worth about $25,000. I drove two or three cars. I had a boat. I had $15,000 wrapped up in landscaping alone. I had pool table in the recreation room. I had video games all around the walls. My stepchildren wore designer clothes. And I worked long hours to provide them with these wonderful things. I thought I loved them. But I loved the things more than them. I supplied the finest things that money could buy. And lost their love. They would rather watch television than talk to me. They would rather go out around the swimming pool and sunbathe than talk to me. And yes, I would rather go drink beer than talk to them. I was of the world. I thought I loved my children, and I was providing the very best for my children. But I was a failure. The Bible says, if any man love the world, the love of the Father is not in him. For all that is in this world, the lust of the flesh, that's the desire of the flesh. That's not just sexual desire. It's the desire for money, the desire for things, the desire for power, the desire for that which is inappropriate. And the lust of the eyes, the desire of the eyes. Oh, there's a big one. I like that one. I want that one. That's the best one. Oh, I want the best. I want to have the greatest. I want to be the best. I want to be the greatest. I want to be. I want to be. I want to be. Satan said, I want to be like God. I want to sit on Yah's throne. For all that is in the world, the lust of the flesh, the lust of the eyes, and the pride of life, is not of the Father, but is of the world. Yahshua overcame it in the third temptation. It was offered to him, and he said, thou shalt not worship any other Almighty One. Thou shalt not worship anything else but Yah, the Almighty of Israel. And the world passeth away, and the lust thereof. All of these things are going to be gone. But he that doeth the will of Yah abideth forever. Everlasting life. We are here now, and tomorrow we're gone. The world is here and gone. But he that doeth the will of the Father, he that hath the love of the Father, abideth forever. James 4:4. Ye adulterers and adulteresses, know ye not that the friendship of the world is enmity or hostility with Yah? Whosoever therefore will be a friend of the world is the enemy of Yah. I'm just going to say it real straight to you. If you love the world, you're an enemy of Yah. It doesn't matter what you say you are. You can say you're a Christian. You can say you're a creation Seventh-day Adventist. You can say you're whatever. You can say you're a preacher. You know the Bible, you're a master in whatever field. If you're a friend of the world, you're an enemy of Yah. That's what the Bible says. I'm just preaching the Bible. Mark 8:36. Closing scripture. The final closing scripture. We sort of have an inside bit of humor about that. I've been told that I start my closing and don't finish for a while. This is my last scripture to close. Mark 8:36. The Savior is talking. I think I'm going to start in verse 34. And when he had called the people unto him and his disciples also, he said unto them, Whosoever will come after me, let him deny himself and take up his cross and follow me. For whosoever will save his life, or save his own life, shall lose it. But whosoever shall lose his life for my sake and the gospel's, the same shall save it. For what shall it profit a man, or a woman, or a child, if he shall gain the whole world and lose his own soul? Or what shall a man give in exchange for his soul? I invite you to consider these things today. Refined worship. Inappropriate worship. Worship that is not based upon truth. Worship that takes up your time and energy and talents. Refined worship. What will you give in exchange for your soul? I think an intelligent man, woman, or child, if they meditated on these things for 5 quality minutes, they would realize how insignificant the things of the world really are. Let us do the will of our Father, that we might abide forever and be a happy family forever in the holy city, made without hands. Shall we pray? Father, we thank You that You have given us great instruction from Your Word. You have warned us against the pitfalls and deceptions of the enemy of souls. Yes, most of society now has become wrapped up in the world. Satan appears to be winning the battle, the tug of war over the souls of men and women and children. But Father, You still have a people upon the earth. You still have a small remnant, the family of Yah, the 12 tribes of the 144,000 who have not knelt to Baal, who have not given their hearts over to surfeiting, who have not given themselves to appetite, to presumption and greed and lust for power. Oh, Father, may we be cleansed from all unrighteousness, and may we truly be found Your friend in the judgment. And may we be good stewards of those things that You have blessed us with. For it is not a sin. It is not transgression to have many things. It is not wrong to have great prosperity and blessing. It is wrong to covet these things and to misuse these things and to amass them to ourselves without serving humanity. Oh, those of us who are blessed, may we use our blessings to the glory of Yah, so that some might be saved. We pray in Yahshua's holy and blessed name. Amen.